Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCBQ 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
Okay, welcome back into the House of Mystery. We're at the interview part of the show. Joining us today, we have an author whose new book is called Pruning a Psychopath, Mindscape Book 1. A.J. Jameson, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Alan.
Yeah. Okay. So you're in the chair. So how did you decide that you're going to write? Like what made you actually go into writing and actually putting it out there for people?
I first started writing seriously about 10 years ago. And it was after finishing a book, The Hunger Games by Suzanne Collins. I remember putting that book down and saying, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to recreate the experience that I had reading this book and do it basically full time. And again, that's what I've been striving for the entire time. And from there, a little story for Beck. When I first started, I was going to a tech school with Daddy Stevens. And I had this laptop that was a gaming laptop, a big 17-inch laptop that was missing the I key. And I remember there's a little kind of like a rubbery nipple is was left of the I key. And so I had to push down very hard for it to actuate. And so I would go to the library at 7 o'clock. It's tech school, so the library was like a ghost town, maybe two people there. And stay till closing till 10 and just hammering on this I key because it's so frequently used to write my first novel, which will never see the light of day. As I thought, you know, back then you had these big dreams as a first starting novelist that is going to be number one New York best time selling. But it was a great time writing it, but it'll stay closed up in the archives.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, well, I mean, that's common. I mean, to look back at your writing and not necessarily, it doesn't turn out necessarily as good as you hoped it would, or when you know, as you go through your life, you look back at things and, but, you know, you could always do a new version.
Yeah. That would need an entire revamp.
Oh, well, you know, so this Pruning a Psychopath, let's get into that book. So where did that come from for you?
The idea came from watching Mindhunters on Netflix and just getting enthralled with the digging into the background of what makes a person basically turn into a psychopath or commit psychopathic acts. And from there, I watched the Ted Bundy tapes, started watching interviews with Ed Kemper, Elaine Warren, and I was just blown away by it. And I wanted to put my own spin on it and try to figure out what would cause a person to do this and what would it be like actually inside the person's mind.
Wow. So let's dig that a little deeper. So when you say that, so Mindhunters is what's on Netflix, I believe 2 seasons, and it's really about the profilers of the FBI and kind of how they would put together information on serial killers and that. So how did you attack that? Like, where did you come from? Did you decide to take a character, create a character amongst all of these other killers that you've watched the show about, or what? Where did the characters come from in this?
The characters, the actual, it's like, I don't want to really dig too much into who the character is or who the psychopath is in the novel, because I toe a line to try to create a suspense,
right,
to figure out who it is. But I made the landscape, I based it off of how the mind works. So in the prefrontal cortex, you have problem solving, emotional understanding. In the parietal lobe, you have sensation reading, process of touch and information. So for each lobe, the landscape changes. So in the parietal lobe, they lose their sense of direction. In the occipital lobe, they experience hallucinations. And by them, it's a team of psychologists who enter the mind through the frontal lobe, because it will make the most sense to kind of ground and anchor the whole experience of going into a person's mind. And I have them going through the different landscapes. And then the psychopath on the psychopathic end, there's a darkness that is festering throughout the landscape. And the team is there to eradicate the darkness and inject a stem cell serum into the amygdala to promote new growth. Because on fMRI imaging scans, psychopaths have shown that their amygdalas are smaller than a normal person's. So this is kind of like just where the ideas came from. And so, the actual characters that go into it,
right,
they're based on, some of them are based on people I meet, and some of them are kind of archetypes that are more fleshed out. So for one, there's an intern. She's on her internship, and she's fresh out of college. She's a psychology major. Another one is in the field of psychiatry, and she's the team lead. Another one is the protagonist. He is able to manipulate minds. So there's a bit of supernatural within the narrative, and he's able to basically cut through the minds with a machete as his like tool, and change them to try to come to an end where the psychopath's mind is more aligned with like a normal person's mind. So they're trying to just delete the darkness that equates the psychopath being a psychopath.
Kind of like Journey to the Center of the Earth, but Journey to the Center of the Brain.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's an old movie. You might not know it.
Alan references a lot of very old things. So
yeah, I'm very old. I'm ancient. Ancient. I'm really old.
That means you have the wise knowledge.
Oh yeah, that's it.
That's what he likes. Yeah, he's 50 anyway.
So it's interesting. So now, so they have a journey basically through the minds and through the mind and trying to achieve, curing or making this person normal or better. So was there someone in mind when you did this? Like, did you have some sort of a, like, with the actual person that you're talking about, the psychopath, was there kind of a particular crime or something that influenced you?
No, not personally. I would say I just drew it from the other psychopaths, the tapes, like the Ted Bundy tapes. And I read a book, Murderous Minds, that dealt with the neuroimaging of the psychopaths and learned that 1% of the population is supposed to be a psychopath. And it's difficult to get information, I guess, from them, because a lot of the subjects that they have readily available are those in prison. But there are also psychopaths who could be lawyers or CEOs, like a president.
That was exactly how I was going to pipe in. Even a president, right? I mean, you could be. Well, not all psychopaths are killers, too, right? They right, won't actually exactly. grow over that. But that's interesting. So when you when you watch tapes, when you watch Ted Bundy and Kemper and stuff like that, was there something that surprised you about these guys when you were listening to them in their own words? Was there certain things that you didn't expect them to say, or certain ways you didn't expect them to be?
I think the biggest thing is the rationalizing of how they can conceptualize the heinous crimes that they committed and say that it happened because of this, like Ed Kemper with his mother. And I think that he decapitated her and molested her decapitated head. And it goes back to the abuse that he suffered from her growing up. And I think the way that they can easily talk about these things without getting worked up or really showing the emotion, because that's everything that they've been talking about is kind of crazy. And I feel like a normal person would not be able to sit there and rationalize it, justify it like they do. And I think that's the most intriguing part.
So I think with your concept too, I could be wrong, maybe correct me, but I think from what it sounds like, you think that psychopaths could be cured. You think that there's a way through to actually make a person better after they've been in this sort of condition and been awful.
Personally, I don't I'm not sure if that would be if that could be a possibility, but I wanted to explore the concept of it. And one of the themes of this is basically man versus nature. So you have the team that have concocted a serum that they are hoping will fix the mind. And on the other side, you have the psychopath's brain who is doing everything they can to resist the foreign entity that has entered their mind. And that's conceptualized as the shaman, I call it. It's kind of like the ruler of the mindscape.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The whole, and it would be the team's main antagonist. It's not really. I'm more so trying to present the question as right. A what if this could happen?
Wasn't he wearing bull horns and at the Capitol last week? The shaman.
Yeah, with his chest painted. And...
yeah, I think I saw him. Interesting character. Wow. So, how do you? Have you given it to thought that when a person is a serial killer, when they're a psychopath or sociopath, and they've developed into a where they're actually killing people or they're on a some sort of a frenzy, you know, have you thought about whether that person is born that way, or whether they're developed, or whether there's a such thing as evil that can be you know, influencing their soul per se. Do you have sort of a breakdown on that idea?
Yeah, I think I lean more toward them becoming it through experiences. I don't know if anyone is necessarily born with pure evil, like running through their soul or their veins. I think that it's more so the interactions with other people that make it manifest. Maybe they have the ability to become that. Like, I know that some mental illnesses, people have a trigger, like a switch that could be flipped, where they may develop a schizophrenia later from like a certain number of stressors. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they'll develop it if the stressors never happen. So I think it might be a combination of two. You may have to be born with the potential to have it done or to have that trigger flipped. And then life circumstances or the environment that you grow up in.
I have to wonder about why two people with, you know, quite often they'll say serial killer, like they're abused by their parents and they've been through a terrible childhood, and there's a list of things that, you know, are really, it's really not a good situation. But I have to wonder why you can have several people that have been through a very similar situation in their young life, but they don't turn out to be a killer or even a sociopath. A lot of them turn out to be caring and have get married, have kids, and they have a fairly decent life in that sort of way. So what's your thoughts on that?
I think it goes back to like the triggering thing. I mean, also with the doctors and lawyers, CEOs, they may have experienced in their lives, but they still have psychopathic tendencies. So I'm not sure. I think that people that turn out to be brutal murderers have those kinds of experiences that push them to the edge. Or maybe they had it, and people that deal with or have had bad experiences had intervention along the way. Or maybe it is just all nature, how a person's born.
Who do you have as influences in your writing?
I have Jeff Vandermeer. Is definitely an author that I've been reading. The Southern Trilogy is great. M.R. Carey did The Girl with All the Gifts. Stephen King was one of the first horror writers or authors that I've read.
Stephen King, I think I've heard of him. I don't know.
Yeah, his first book I read by him was Desperation, and that was at the tech library.
What's your favorite Stephen King book?
I would say Misery was really good.
Yeah.
And
then I guess that's the next question.
What was the next question?
Who's your number one fan?
Definitely not cocaine.
Somebody's gonna hobble you and keep you.
Yeah, she's downstairs in the basement watching TV right now.
Perfect. You're all set up. So, what's your idea about writing? Where do you think you want to go?
I want to keep exploring the idea of a mindscape. I've continued. Written a second book, the sequel, The Pruning Psychopath, and it follows one of the characters on the expedition, one of the survivors, and it's them as the protagonists to deal with another mental disorder. I think that's where I'm currently going. I want to make it a trilogy.
That's interesting. So what would be your advice to a new writer? You're fairly new and all that. What do you think? What have you learned?
I've learned get the ideas out and form a process. I think every writer has a different process. For me personally, it gives characters, create all the characters, flesh them out, create the maps, an outline. I have to outline. Some people write by the seat of the pants. I think whatever makes you more comfortable, get the ideas out and keep writing so that you have momentum, because you'll get better the more you write, the more often you write. And get feedback too. There's a lot of communities out there for indie authors, especially. There's the Facebook group, I think 20 books to 50K, I think. I joined that group, and then that's when I contacted you after that. Was that the...
Could be, yeah.
The social media site that you...
I'm all over the place.
Yeah, that's a good one. There's another one, Critique Circle. It's a website where writers exchange each other's works, give each other inline edits, and they have a currency system. So you have to critique, I think, three other stories before you can post yours for feedback. So I would say get involved in the communities that are online.
It's interesting. So one thing I caught when you said some of the characters are from people you've met, is that people you've known really well, or just someone you've seen in a coffee shop or something?
It's a little bit of both. I tend to write from experiences of meeting people. So it's somebody who has a boisterous personality and they're very outgoing, that will be, they'll fill the shoes of a certain character who may have to now travel through a mindscape with a bunch of quiet psychologists, basically. And then they're suddenly the fish out of water. So I try to find people or have the internet is unstable. You still hear me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's fine.
Okay. Yeah, I'll use different characteristics traits from people I know, and then try to see how they would act in a situation.
Huh. Well, you can always use my character, and I'll kill a lot of people for you. How's that? Yeah.
Well, yeah, I saw that. So you do you interview like serial killers too?
I've done that
because I know that you're more involved with the nonfiction side of.
Yeah. Oh, I'm totally involved in nonfiction. I don't do any fiction myself. I can't quite figure that out yet. Myself and Mike Brown here. He's a serial killer. He's killed several.
No, I'm not.
Well, trying. Anyway, so now do you have a website? And a place that you like people to come find you or find out about your books in particular?
Yes, ajjamesonauthor.com. And the socials are the same on Instagram, Twitter.
Okay. We'll run that on our website as well so people listening can do one click and find you, you know. Hey, so, you know, with this last year, has this last year influenced your writing or your thoughts on how you're going to write? Like you're saying, you're doing a new book now or second part to this. Do you think it's changed how you write?
Yes. Yeah, I think we're at a point now with all the rioting, Black Lives Matter, the Capitol, the pandemic. I think that people are going to look forward to more hopeful books, something that will shed light on the situation. At least that's my personal perspective. When I was writing Pruning a Psychopath, I was kind of in a darker area myself. So I think with everything going on in the world, that people would more so want something to uplift their spirits. And I think that's going to influence my writing too currently.
Huh. So you'll make it more positive. You'll probably go brighter than more than, let's say, getting darker.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. I think Pruning a Psychopath is probably one of the darkest books that I've written.
How does your family feel about that?
they love it. My mom gave me positive feedback, but that's a mother's love, you know?
Yeah. Well, I was just wondering if she locks your doors now.
Yeah. And front door, her bedroom door, all the doors.
I was going to say, well, that's interesting. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you. It's a good little brief on people. Your book is Pruning a Psychopath, and it's Mindscape Book 1. Our guest has been A.J. Jameson. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Alan.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.